the pleasure, and we had a few people from C3 Kwinana here complete a speaker training course that ran for 6 weeks, no, 7 weeks. And it was just an opportunity for people to hear how it is to get up on stage and to speak, and how to put a message together to make sure that it's not just an informative message, but a transformative one, because we know that transformation is what we want, not just information. We get information from magazines, you know. So if here we want transformation, so information that leads to transformation. Amen. So we have the pleasure of listening to two of those individuals today as we journey with this theme of our faith story. In Revelation chapter 12, it said heaven was rejoicing. This is probably verse number 10 of Revelation 12. Heaven was rejoicing because it says the accuser of the brethren was cast down from heaven. Boom, they kicked him out and said, you're finished. No more accusing the brethren. And then it goes on to say in verse number 11, and they defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives even to death. So it is by the blood of the Lamb that the enemy was defeated. That devil that accuses people day and night in front of the Lord's throne, accusing you and I, was destroyed by the Lord Jesus. And now we can step into the throne room of God with all boldness because we know that Jesus is our advocate. And so we defeat him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And what is our testimony? Our testimony is our faith story, the testimony of Jesus in our lives, because Jesus works in us differently. He works in you differently than he works in me. So if I want to have faith for my journey, I need to hear what the Lord is doing in your life so that I can also think, wow, God can do that. Then when you hear my story, you think, wow, he saved you from that. Then surely God can do it for me as well. So God is like, and I'm not saying he's like, it's like, you know, when the light hits a diamond, you can see different colors. Because we are all different expressions of God, because we are all different personalities. So we express God differently. So what I need is that I need your expression of God. You need my expression of God. And that encourages, and that helps us encourage each other. So this morning, please, we would really appreciate it if you would put your hands together and give them the best encouragement you can as I invite Mr. Jeff Bettesworth. All right, Bettesworth, here you go.
I just want to take this moment to thank the Lord for allowing me to share this message with you today. And I want to make a special thanks to the pastors, Pastor Stephen and Pastor Anami, for being such good pastors in this church. Now, I'm married to my wife, Tammy, who's the worship leader here. We have a bit of a blended family. We have four girls, four boys, and it keeps us on our toes a lot. And so I was born in Port Hedland, and my father was a pretty busy man. He was an auctioneer, he was a tow truck driver, and he also had a panel shop. And I spent a lot of my time around cars, and my passion for cars was just there from a young age. So I stole my first car when I was two, and my father left a client's car running, so I jumped in, I stood on the steering wheel, knocked it down into gear, and my four-year-old sister was in the back, and I drove across the road and crashed into a tree. So that was the beginning of my passion for cars. So by the time I was four, I decided to be a panel beater. So on the when all the workers went to lunch, I went and got a hammer and started, panel beating, doing what they were doing. And I caused about $6,000 worth of damage. So by the time I was 13, I bought my first car. It was Holden Kingswood, and it was a Speedway car, so it had the full roll cage and everything. And I raced Speedway for a couple of years, and my sister was at boarding school for those 2 years, and she flew back into Port Hedland to come and watch me for the first time to race Speedway. So, and I was getting pretty good, and it was the last lap, and I was coming around the back straight, and I was in the lead, and a car just tapped my back end, and I hit the concrete wall straight on, smashed my car to pieces, and my sister was sitting right there. So, but that didn't scare me off, you know, that one bit. That scared my sister a bit, but it didn't scare me off at all. So by the time I reached 16, I decided I want to be a mechanic. So I went to the local dealer and I said, look, I really want to be a mechanic, you know, and they said, no, sorry. There's nothing, no apprenticeships going on right now. So I said, well, I'm really keen, so I'll come in, I'll sweep your floors, I'll empty your bins after school. And they're like, nah, we can't afford to pay you. I said, that's fine. So I went there every day for 3 months and just worked and cleaned and worked and cleaned after school. And at the end of it, they gave me an apprenticeship as a mechanic. So I was pretty rapt about that. And in 3 years' time, I finished my trade. So I was 19 years old by the time I was a mechanic, and just excelled after that. Now, in 2010, before that, I read a couple of books about a potato farmer from South Africa. His name was Angus Buchan. And I was pretty interested in all this. And my dad invited me to a Mighty Men's Conference, which was at Advent Park. And there were about 4,000 men there. And they hired the biggest tent in Australia to host this event. And the first day I went there, they did a prayer of salvation. And I stood up and I was just ready to give my heart to the Lord that day. And as I stood up and started saying the prayer of salvation, the sides of the tent just flew open and this huge gust of wind just came rushing over everyone in the tent. And it was just like a jet plane just flew over our heads. The sound of the wind was just roaring and it was just an amazing feeling. And I'll never forget that day that I was saved. So in those 19 years after I became a mechanic, I really excelled in my career. I worked at many places working on different equipment, and eventually I became a diagnostic technician where I specialized in finding problems with cars that no one else could. So I really enjoyed that because every day was a new day, you know. And when I met my wife, I was going through some hardship at times. And after I found the Lord in 2010, she gave me a Bible verse that really has been my go-to verse. And anytime I'm in trouble or I'm just like feeling down, I'll just keep repeating this verse, and it's pulled me out of so much. And that's 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, we'll read it out. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people, because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in this world. So I just say, he who lives in me is greater than he who is in this world. He who lives in me is greater than he that is in this world. And I just embed that into my life again and again. And that has helped me through so many situations. So in 2019, like I was at the point in my career where I was diagnosing a lot of stuff. I was getting involved in the new technology coming into cars and trucks. And I was investing in upgrading to a heavy diesel and a mobile plant mechanic as well. And one day I went to work and I was working on a job, which is just a normal job that I had been trained to do. And I was lifting a piece of equipment and someone came and distracted me. And the heavy piece of equipment just like fell and snapped all the ligaments in this hand and all the ligaments in this hand. So I went to the hospital and they said, I told them it felt like something snapped because my hand closed up and I couldn't open it and it felt really bad. And they said, oh, you just sprained your wrist. So they put me in a cast for 6 weeks and it still was painful and I still had nerve loss and stuff like that. So I went and got a second opinion, and the first arthroscopy they did on my hand, the surgeon said it's the worst injury he's ever seen in anyone's hand, and I had it on both hands. So six surgeries later, they fused this hand, so I can't bend it, and this hand is waiting for a few more surgeries. Not only that, the court case and the legal battle that I've been fighting in those 6 years has just been so emotionally draining. You know, I was suffering depression, I had anxiety, I had like all my hope was gone. I still kept repeating that verse, but that verse just was not, like, I wasn't feeling it, you know. It just was not rolling with me. So one day I just woke up and like I was just asking God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you taking my hands? What direction am I going in? You know, I spent all this time studying, all this time. I loved my job. I loved my career. And I couldn't deal with it anymore. So I gave it all to God that day. And I said to God, just take my worries away. Just take my issues. Guide me on where I'm going to go now. And after that, I just felt a lift, a huge lift, like physically off my shoulders. I felt God just pulling it all away from me. And since then, my dreams are coming back. And I feel like my life is renewed now. You know, so I have fresh life. I now have direction. I don't know my direction where I'm going, but I have a direction. And that direction is God right now. And I am helping people in the community. I'm helping my family. I'm spending more time, even though I'm not working. I'm actually working in my house. And I'm being an ambassador for Jesus. So I just want to say, like, the Lord, with the strength of the Lord, and if we used God's strength instead of our own strength, we can do anything. And we don't have to fear anything because greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. You know, we fight a lot of battles in our life, and I'm still fighting a battle now. You know, my hands are killing me right now, but there's always going to be battles in our life. But just understand that by believing that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, the war has already been won. So I just want to do a quick prayer. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us. Thank you, Lord, for taking on all my worries and take on anyone else's worries, Lord, because your strength, Lord, we can't do it without your strength. Just come into us, Lord, and wash over us with your living water, because greater are you, Lord, that is in us than the devil that is in this world. Thank you.
Well done, Jeff. Very encouraging. And if you know the situation that Jeff has had to face, you know, when your career, something that you've been doing all your life, is taken away from you, I mean, what do you do? You know, there's no theory around this. It's not just God bless you. It's not just that. There's something that we are called. You can't just say to a man, like, I don't even know what to say to a man who can't do the things that he normally did. And that gave him a sense of pride and a sense of identity. And when that is taken away, you know, I'm so grateful for just how you've held on to the Lord. You know, not just for you, but for your family as well. You know, when you've been faced with hardship, you can't pay your bill. The guy couldn't pay his bills. And if you, the story of Jeff and Tammy's life, if you are to get a glimpse into it, you will be shocked at just how God has been able to come through their lives. And I know that that's perhaps if other people have got stories they you know, that the thing that they go through in this life. This is why church community is so important, because we are there to encourage one another. We are there to lift one another up. And I think this is why I love church, because it provides us that opportunity to understand the things that people go through their lives, yet they still say yes for the Lord. So that's really good. So please put your hands together again for Mr. Bittersworth. And so we have one more, you know, just for good measure. Yes, we've got one more, and Miss Alencia is going to come and share her faith story with us. So please put your hands together for Miss Alencia Ongeti.
Thank you so much, Pastor Stephen. Thank you, Jeff, for sharing. That was very powerful. Greater is He that lives in us than Him in the world. That's amazing. So I just want to thank God for this opportunity to share my faith story. And I want to thank Pastor Stephen and Pastor Onami as well for giving me the opportunity. I'm very grateful. So each one of us has a story. I'm sure we can all agree on that. The difference, however, comes in when we allow God into our story. He's able to turn it to a faith story. And today I want to share my story in three parts. And part one is about my journey with the Lord, the highs and the lows. Part two will be about how Jesus changed my life. And part three is about who God is. Who did I find God to be in my own story? Is He sovereign and high above, or is He relatable? So I was born in a small village in the coastal area of Kenya, that is in East Africa. And at a very young age, at about three, I was able to tell that all was not well with my parents. And shortly after, they separated. And my mom, I remember this morning, my mom woke up, she took my newborn baby brother, put her on her back, and held my hand, gathered a few items, and said, let's go. And we moved into my grandmother's house. So in our small village, my mom took us to church every Sunday. There was a Catholic church nearby. And every Sunday, we were there in church praying and doing everything that happens in there. But I remember this Sunday afternoon, just walking around. It was a summer afternoon, and I was just walking around with my cousin, who's a bit older than me, and we could see an open-air crusade happening in a local shopping center, and we said, why don't we just walk by there and see? The music was very different from what we were used to, and that was very attracting, and so we walked there to the crusade and just kind of, you know, were there listening and following. And at the end, there was a preacher who shared a message, and this preacher made an altar call. And I remember this guy. He was, you know, one of those fiery Pentecostal preachers with a deep Pentecostal voice. And I felt like he was tearing down my soul the entire time, like when he was making this altar call. And so when he said, do you want to give your life to Christ and just put your hand up? And I quickly shot my hand up. But I was a bit scared, and so my cousin, who's a bit older than me, kind of encouraged me and gave me a little nudge to move forward. And I gave my life to Christ at the age of 10. After that, I remember just still going to the Catholic church in my village. I remember praying. Things were different. Like, I could feel there was a shift in my life. I remember every night before I go to bed in my tiny room, I would kneel down and pray as a young child. A few years later, we moved to a city called Mombasa, just still within the coastal area. And my mom introduced us to a Pentecostal church there. And I loved it over there. I loved the worship. I loved the messages that were shared. And I just remember being in church every Sunday, going to youth, attending the youth camp, attending the youth gatherings, just being soaked into that church life, praying and reading the word and all of that. I went to the youth conferences, you name it all. After high school in 2008, things started to change for me. I stopped going to church consistently. I isolated from my community. And I started to fill these voids in my life. Now, remember I said we walked out of our house when I was still young with my mom and my brother. I never saw my dad again. And so as a teenager, at this age, I'm 17, 18, about there, that's when I realized why I was so angry and so bitter. And my questions were just about, like, why don't I have a dad? Why isn't my dad around to protect me, you know, when I'm bullied, or to just love me and to encourage me, to pray for me, I guess. I really didn't know, like, how that looks like having your dad around. But I knew there was something missing in my life. And I had just finished high school. I joined university. And I was looking to fill that gap, that void with something at that point. And I was really angry, like I said, at my dad, at my mom, and even at God. Why would you allow that to happen to me? And so I got wild. I started going out, partying, drinking, you know, just drinking my head off and, yeah, doing all the... I thought I need to be cool now, you know, just trying to fill the void again in my heart and everything. So I thought hanging out with the cool people, going out for all the cool parties, I was there for all of it. And, yeah, it was crazy. Once in a while, though, I still went to church. I still knew, I still believed in God. And I still knew that I still need to go to church. And I remember so I would go out every Friday night, every Saturday night, and then come back to our hostel in the morning at around 4 or 5. And at 9 a.m. I would be sitting in church with a serious hangover. I know. I did that for many, many, many times. I did that. And that's what my friends didn't really get that part. But that's what I believed in. And I want to encourage parents and guardians, carers, grandparents, don't give up on taking your children to church from a young age, from a tender age. Don't give up teaching them about the Lord. That's the foundation that you lay down. And storms in life may come and shake them up, but that foundation stays. So when I was in my third year in university, one of those Sunday mornings, straight up from the club to church, it was Holy Communion Sunday. I remember that very well. And the speaker who was sharing around Holy Communion shared, and he said something around, I sense like some of you want to be part of this Holy Communion, but before that, you know, you need to surrender your life to Christ. And he made the prayer, the altar call, he made it right there when we were still waiting to have Holy Communion. And I knew this is it. I made that prayer. And I recommitted my life to Christ right there and took Holy Communion just like everybody else. So how did Jesus change my life? That's a salvation story. So after recommitting my life back to Christ that Holy Communion Sunday morning, that was a turnaround for me. I went back to church. I got planted in a local church. That's the same church where I made that prayer. It's that this church was very close to my university, and so it was very convenient. I got planted in church. I started attending Bible study, you know, got to be part of the community, that I felt I was encouraged and supported to grow and to be better. I still made a couple of bad choices here and there, but I got up and kept walking. I never looked back. And today, I'm changed. I'm still changing and running the race set before me. Hebrews 12, 1-2 says, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the hand of the throne of God." So as I continue to grow in my walk with the Lord, I reconnected with my dad. I reached out to him, and we started to build from ground zero to work on our relationship. It was never easy. It was still a bit unhealthy many times, but I left that communication open, and we continued to communicate and build a relationship. So in my church, during around that same time, my church invited me, you know, to be part of this program where I get trained in church and serve in different ministries, mentored by the church pastors and leaders. And around this time, I also sensed the call of God over my life. And I go right ahead to Bible college after that. And during this same period, still in church, I met a guy. I know. I met this amazing guy. Funny, you know, loves the Lord. Just a stand-up, solid guy. And remember, you need to remember, this is someone, because of my background, this is someone who had zero trust when it comes to men. Like, nothing, zero. Don't come near me. Don't look at me. But the Lord restores. I meet this guy, and 2 years later, we get married. And we, I know, we moved to Australia later on, and today we're blessed with two beautiful boys. And so when I look at my family today, I see God. I see the grace of God. God can change someone's life. God can just turn around the story and make beauty out of it. And I'm surrounded, you know. I'm not just surrounded by my nuclear family, but by my extended family as well. My family is right here today. Can you wave if you don't mind? Yes. So, you know what I mean? I'm blessed. And not just that, but when I look around, even right here, I see the grace of God. I'm surrounded by a community of believers that I'm able to do life with. I'm blessed with amazing pastors that encourage me and support me to grow and to do better. So who is God? Who did I find God to be in my story? God is a father to the fatherless. Look, for years I struggled to relate with God as the Father. That did not make sense to me at all. I knew God as sovereign. I knew God as a judge. I went to school and did a degree in law, so that was easy for me. I knew God as a judge. But God as a Father, how does that look like? What do you mean, you know? And as I continue to grow and pray and study the Word, God opened my eyes, and I started to look back and see how God had been a father to me over the years. He preserved me. like when I was going wild and doing all that stuff, honestly, were it not for the Lord, I would not be here. I would not be alive today. He preserved me. He protected me. He provided for me. He sheltered for me. He defended me. He comforted me. He rescued me. And he fought all my battles. And you know, I'm reminded of the Lord's Prayer, which begins as, "Our Father, who is in heaven." That's how it begins. Yes, he is in heaven. He's high above. His ways are higher than ours, but he's also our Father. And we're able to talk to him and relate with him, you know, and tell him, bring to him all our needs and all our fears and all our anxieties. He's right there as a Father. Number two, Christ is the firm foundation, and all other grounds are definitely sinking sand. He's the only solid foundation. Build on him. You know, when I stepped away from the Lord all back then, something kept drawing me back. I wanted to go to church, and I prayed sometimes. And eventually, I made my way back home. That is because there was that foundation set in me as a little child, and that stayed there, that Christ is the firm foundation. And finally, I found my way back home to the Lord. And thirdly, God is the author and perfecter of my story and your story. God writes a beautiful story. And I have no idea where you're at with your story today. It might look beautiful, it might not. But I want to encourage you that as the author, he writes a beautiful story. He turns everything together for good. He is God, and he makes beauty out of ashes. And I just wonder where you're at today with your story. And as I give you a minute to reflect on that, I just want to ask you to close your eyes and our heads bowed down. Where are you at today in your story? What chapter? Would you say mine is a story? Or would you say mine is a faith story? Maybe in your faith story, you're experiencing some lows, like you find yourself down in the valley, and just like the prodigal son who walked away from his father, but then comes back, and the father receives him with wide open arms. Maybe you stepped away, and I want to invite you this morning that you can come back home. The father is ready to receive you with wide open arms. And I like what Jeff said. You know, he said, give everything to the Lord. That's what he did at some point in his life. When he felt the anxiety and the frustration, he gave it all to the Lord. So whatever it is, give it all to the Lord and come back home. Or maybe yours is a story without Christ as the firm foundation. I want to invite you right now to begin your faith story. And if you find yourself in any of those two categories, I just want to make a prayer. And you can repeat this prayer after me. In church, we can also join just to encourage. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you that you write a beautiful story. Today, I come back to you. I give it all to you. Come into my life and take over. In Jesus' name. With our eyes still closed, if you made that prayer, I just want to ask you if you can just lift up your hand. This is so that we're able to walk with you and support you in this journey. If you made the prayer, please just lift up your hand so that I can see it. Amen. 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 Thank you so much. So God, I thank you. And I bless your name. Thank you that you're the author and perfecter of our faith, and that you write a beautiful story and you work everything out together for good. We thank you and we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.